Our Father God, we do thank you for this time to meet this morning, to share in the blessings that are ours, to gather with your people, to study your word. And we just ask that you would bless our time this morning as we look at the things that we're doing with our kids, and this morning more of a reflection on some of the more positive activities that we can do. And just pray that all these things would go together to make for a well-balanced household for each of the families that are here this morning, and those who may be influenced by this material in the future. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, as you know, we're talking about how to raise children to become wise, responsible, godly adults. And we've been spending quite a bit of time. I think we're going to wrap this section up this morning, believe it or not, developmental activities. Been a very practical section, and it's not as much scripture quoting here as it might be in other places. That's not to say I don't think the ideas, biblical ideas, don't underlie some of these things, but we're getting into some more practical areas, and then we'll, as we move back into some of the other things, we'll be into more of the conventional type things that we talk about. And what I call developmental activities are things like work, education, and then for the last several weeks we've been talking about recreation. And we've looked at several areas of recreation. We've looked at sports, we've looked at music, we've looked at games, board games, video games, what have you. Last week we spent quite a bit of time and discussion looking at audio and video and that whole broad spectrum of possibilities there. Everything from movies to audio sermons to anything in between. And so today, like I said, we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to be looking at vacations and day trips. And again, all of these are ways that we can make our family time together. We're mixing things that are fun and enjoyable with things that are pointing them in the right direction as far as how to live life, how to serve God, and so forth. But this one in particular is more of a fun one, but I think it's important. So I want to recommend, first of all, that as parents, you occasionally, but on some kind of regular basis, find babysitters for the kids and take a getaway and or enjoy a date night once in a while. Just the two of you. And the intent here is to have time where the two of you can be refreshed by a brief break from your everyday responsibilities, have deep and extended conversations that are normally hard to have with a house full of kids, reflect on how things have been going for you and your family, make plans and or envision helpful changes that you can make as a couple and or a family. So I've given two kind of broad ideas here. One is a date night, and again, this is as you see fit, as you think is helpful. This is not obviously a mandated thing at all, but something I'm just suggesting as helpful. You know, we get going every day. You know, we tend to every day to like sort of, you know, you go to work, you come home, you have dinner, you watch TV, you go to bed, you know, put the kids to bed, whatever. And so things tend to get in sort of a rut if you don't think outside the box, if you don't make the effort to do something different. So that's the kind of things we're going to be talking about today, of those kind of areas. I tend to think of a date night as something that happens fairly regular. Sandy and I, for a long, long time, have been taking our date night once a week. We have a particular day on a particular time on a particular day, and I sort of keep that sacred because it's very easy for, you know, if you make a plan like that, something comes along and, you know, you end up having to change it, and then you forget to go back to having it, you know how that goes. Obviously you have to use good sense about how rigid you're going to be about that, but and I don't think we started off once a week. I think back when we didn't have much money and the kids were really young, it was really hard to get babysitting. We might have done it more like once a month. You know, whatever you can afford, whatever works for you in that area. I suggest thinking about that, just having that little time where two of you get away and take a break. And then the idea of a getaway is kind of a bigger idea, something that I would envision happening maybe once or twice a year. Again, it's up to you. And I wish the Canards were here this morning. They could tell us about their recent getaway and see how that went. But anyways, this is something more where you would take several days away. And maybe you would go to some secluded place or go stay in a cabin or go whatever. And just the two of you get together. And some of you have been in the, I think I gave a little mini class in Aaron and Linda Beth's home for a while, or just one night, when we talked about this idea. But I don't know that anybody here this morning was there for that. Maybe, were you guys there for that? No, okay. I don't think. Anyhow, this is an idea that we got when we went to Fellowship Bible Church, which we went there for about 10 years. And one of the pastors there, Bill Wellens and his wife, Bill and Carolyn Wellens, they wrote a book called Getting Away and Getting It Together. And they actually suggest a very structured time that the two of you can spend together, and they kind of organize it like the first night, just kind of getting in touch, relaxing, and, you know, loosening up. And then he recommends certain things that you do on certain days and the scriptures that you read together. And everything. He has a whole program. And you may or may not want to follow that to the letter. Sandy and I think, whenever they suggested this, we thought this was a good idea. Because we've been taking time when we would go on vacation, but it would just be a vacation, which is fine. But we never thought about mixing the fun of a vacation with some constructive time where the two of us could put our heads together as a couple and kind of do two things at once, in a sense. So this gave us a structure to follow. We followed it, I think, to the letter the first year or two, and then we kind of loosened it up or readjusted it or whatever to suit ourselves, you know, and what seemed to fit better. However you do that, but we have just really found this to be a precious time for us to get away. And it's hard to do, especially if you got little ones and you got a bunch of little ones. You know, who's going to watch them all? That kind of thing. And that was always the hardest part. Sandy usually did the arrangements on that. And sometimes by the time we started to take the getaway, she was teetering on whether it was worth it or not. By the time we got done, she always said, yeah, it was worth it. But, you know, sometimes that right after that initial phase of having to make all the arrangements, because in some cases we had situations where we really couldn't just have one person watch all of our kids. We had to, like, split them up amongst our friends, or sometimes we would hire somebody to come in or whatever. There's different ways you can do that. We always had to come up with something creative and make it happen. But again, we really felt like it was just a worthwhile thing to do, because so often, you just, like I said, you get in a rut. You tend to just keep doing the same old, and you don't ever step back and take a look. And there's something about getting away from your regular routine and your regular environment that really stimulates that kind of thinking, I've noticed. I used to notice, even on a business trip, that I'm not talking about that here, but even when I went on a business trip to a different town and I was away for a couple of nights, taking a class or something for work, just being away from my regular environment and having a lot of time to myself to think in between the class or whatever it was I was doing, I could just feel the wheels turning, and I would come home with all kind of ideas about, hey, you know what we're going to start doing? We're going to start doing this, we're going to start doing that. And so this is something you would be doing as a couple here. And some people recommend doing this kind of thing individually, too. Take time off by yourself. And, you know, certainly not against that. I didn't do much of that. We tended to do ours as a couple. So I just recommend that to you right up front. We're going to spend the rest of our time focusing on what you can do with your family together. But I want to recommend that as a separate thing that you do. I also recommend occasionally taking your family somewhere for a week, a couple of days, or even just part of a day, where all of you as a family can enjoy and experience one another in an environment outside what you experience in everyday life or around the house. See things that perhaps educate, inspire awe, change perspective, and build positive memories together as a family. So that's kind of the overall idea. And just like what I said about you as a couple, when you as a family get apart from your regular routine, you get to see things you don't normally see. And a lot of times this can be in a direction of something biblical. I'll make some recommendations on that, but it may or not just be something you do together for enjoyment. You enjoy the great outdoors, you know, of some area, or go see the mountains or whatever. I'm going to make a whole bunch of specific suggestions here in just a minute. So, I think it's easy to get in a pattern of not doing this kind of thing, although I'm sure most of you do some of these things to some degree already right now. But always be thinking about that. Always be thinking in that realm. Always be thinking about what can we do that could make this more interesting, more fun for the family. And we want to be real big on, you know, we have been big in this class on having standards, having discipline. And there are going to be a lot of, you know, sort of negative times, if you will, when you're, you know, having some difficulty with kids who are disobedient and so forth. There are going to be those times. But you want to have a lot of positive memories together that you enjoy being together. Not to say you don't do that every day, but in a special way. So I wanted to come up with a couple of suggestions on this for you. In fact, quite a few. some things to think about. And then at the end, I want to hear back from y'all, of course, as always. So, some specific, and this goes all over the map here. Take your family hiking or biking. You know, if they're old enough to bike and you have bikes, you can always hike. You can always walk. we got some great places locally you can do this. There's Pinnacle Mountain. There's Two Rivers Trail. I don't know if you ever heard of that. There are some nearby state park trails. Petit Jean is like about, an hour's drive away, I think. They got some fantastic trails up there. I don't know if y'all have ever been up to Petit Jean or not, but it's a great place to go. Mount Nebo is about a two-hour drive, and they got a walk around the top of the mountain on the rim that you can take and just look out over the surrounding area. And it's just really gorgeous. These are just specific. Who knows how many places you could take your kids. In fact, we have a whole set of trails in Little Rock, I'm sure most of you know, that go all the way out to my house up by Pinnacle Mountain, go all the way down to downtown on a bike. I suppose you could walk it and take a while. But, yeah, you can take your... In fact, I could probably bike to work every day if I was inclined to do that. I'm not, but... I would say as a state, as a city, we are positioned well to do this kind of thing. And if you're not aware of that, I encourage you to become aware of it, because it's really great. It's always a good exercise, getting out and get some fresh air. You can spend the time talking while you're walking. And this is something you can do as a couple as well. One of Sandy and I's favorite activities together over the years recreationally is walking. You know, there are a lot of things we do individually. I like computers and computer programming. She's not so much on that. She likes quilting and sewing, and I admire that, but I'm not into that. I like home improvement and stuff, and she helps me with that sometimes, but that's not her main thing. So, you know, what do we do together besides eat out at a restaurant for recreation? And walking has been one of those things. So definitely encourage that, and then definitely with your family as well. Go swimming, fishing, boating, or skiing at a nearby lake or river. I suppose I could throw in the beach if we're talking about swimming. Of course, I said nearby. We don't have any nearby beaches. About as nearby as you get is Galveston or Gulf Shores or something like that, I think. Which is not bad. I recommend that as well. There's a wide range I'm recommending here. I mean, swimming and fishing, anybody can do, right? Pretty much, if you're inclined to do that, if you know how to do that. Boating and skiing obviously would involve having a boat and skis, and not everybody's going to do that. But I've known some families that they made that kind of their thing, that they did, you know, during the summertime. They would get together and go out and do that kind of thing, and they just love having that time together. It was kind of neat. Spend a night or two camping at a state park, or perhaps stay in one of the state park cabins. And I just list off, we have, again, in the natural state, if you're not aware already, We have some fantastic state parks and some fantastic facilities at those state parks. So we're very fortunate in this. I've gotten spoiled, honestly. Like, we will travel out west. I'm from, Sandy and I are both from the west. We're from the Phoenix area. And you go to a state park out there and it's like, really? This is it? You know, because here it's like woods and there's cabins and they got these really cool visitor centers in a lot of them. And there's usually some kind of an attraction there that you can spend time doing things together. And like I said, and the cabins are, I mean, we're talking almost like a house. You know, they've got a full kitchen, bedrooms, heating and air, fireplace, the whole deal, showers and all that. So if, now if you like, if you're a kind of person that likes camping, of course that's going to be cool for you. You like to do that. I was never a person who liked camping very much. In fact, we used to have a joke in my family that I would take the family camping. I would get so frustrated with the camping experience because I don't like camping. I don't like living out in the, and without, you know, showers and normal things that you normally have. And so they said Dad had to lose his memory about how bad the last camping trip was before he'd take us on one again. That's just me. Some people love it. Sandy, you know, this is what's amazing. Most couples I've met, it's the husband likes the camping and the wife's kind of like, not so much. But in our situation, Sandy loves camping. She would gladly do all the cooking and cleanup for the camping. All I have to do is just take him there. And I still just, I don't know, it wasn't me so much. I did. We did it, though. We did it. But if you like that, I recommend it. And again, the state parks we have for camping or for cabins or whatever are just over the top good in terms of the kind of things you have available to you there. So we're, again, a variety. I'm just going back and forth here. Spend a few hours at a local city park. Most of you in North Little Rock area be familiar with Burns Park, obviously. So you got little kids. I mean, you can take your kids down there for a day and let them play on the playground or this walking trail, I think, even down there. Or this, you can meet with another couple or a mom or something. You know, just, I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do just in a local level. We used to have a park across from us when we lived in Conway. And it just had some walking trails and some places the kids could do some exercise or whatever. No big deal. And sometimes it was just good to get out. We were homeschooling and we'd take a break in the middle of the day for a sort of a recess and take the kids to a place like that. Just some ideas there. Consider taking the family to a theme park. It's Silver Dollar City was always one of our favorites. There tends to be a Christian overtones to a lot of what goes on at Silver Dollar City. I'm not going to totally endorse everything that ever shows up there or whatever, but just in general, that there's a that kind of environment there, and plus it's kind of a Ozark kind of thing or whatever. We liked it. Disney World Epcot Center, again, the Canards could tell you about that. They've been there recently. Pretty cool place to go. SeaWorld, you know, that's just, I could go on and on, you know, just all kind of places that you can name. It'd be fun to take your kids and fun to spend a day there. Consider taking the family to a museum or a natural wonder. Again, a lot of good choices here. There's also some bad choices. I'll talk about that in a minute. Well, I don't say bad choices. It's just things to watch out for about this. Let me make some good choices. Mid-America Museum. Have you all heard of this one? I think it's like near Hot Springs. If you haven't, or if you've heard of it and haven't been there, and you got kids that are old enough to kind of look around and figure out what's going on, that is the coolest place ever for a museum. It's a hands-on science museum, basically. And they have all kind of stuff that kids can do, and they're trying to teach them scientific principles while they're having a good time. And it can be a little pricey, you know, it's not something you'd be able to do every week or something, but for a special occasion or whatever. And I don't remember exactly what the admission price is. You'd have to call and find out. I forget, but whatever it was, we went for it. So I recommend thinking about that. This is a little bit longer trip, but definitely, definitely worth it. The Answers in Genesis Creation Museum. We went up and took our granddaughters there. We went and picked them up in Iowa and took them over and spent the night there. And It's like in a, like where three states meet, Kentucky and I forget which other. There's a three, they call it the three state area. It's right there. And they've got a museum that presents a biblical worldview and a biblical outlook of how we got here. And so many things, they try to answer a lot of the questions that, that your kids are going to have asked of them when they go to school. You know, well, what about evolution? And what about millions of years? And well, all those kinds of things. And those of you who were here back when I did my class on that, you will remember that's a whole area that you can spend, well, we did spend weeks talking about all the different ins and outs of that. And that's really an important area. I think that's where, in many ways, I think that's where we lost our kids as a generation in this society, because evolution is just taken as a given. Millions and billions of years are taken as a given, and that doesn't fit with what we're told in Scripture. So what are your kids going to do? They're like, well, this is fact, and the Bible teaches something that's not fact, so how much can we trust the Bible, right? And of course, we know we can trust the Bible, and we know what the Bible says happened, happened. And because they've made up a new story to support a secular society, we need to speak against that. You can do that without going to the museum, obviously. When we talked about videos and stuff last week, I recommended that. But this is a great place to go for them to see in a museum kind of environment. They've even got now, and I haven't been there since they've done this. I want to go there again. They have a scale model, a full-scale model of the Ark. And they have suggestions on, you know, how could Noah and his family have taken care of the animals and all that. They have suggestions on how that could have happened and how could the ark have been designed where it wouldn't break apart and so on. They try and deal with all those things in a way that takes in consideration what we know scientifically, but still stays true to the biblical accounts. So I just really would recommend that. And the reason I said a minute ago, you know, there's other museums like, you know, I thought about the Smithsonian or whatever. And that's great. In fact, we never actually went there, but we thought about it for a long time. One thing you're going to find about a lot of museums, though, is they present anti-biblical messages in between factual stuff. So it's a mix. And you, it's good to teach your kids about that. It's good to teach them that you don't trust and believe everything just because it's on a placard in a museum. That doesn't make it true. Any more than you, if it's in a school textbook even, or if it's in the newspaper, or if it's in, if it's on TV, you don't necessarily automatically assume that it's true. So I would recommend going to those places, but I'd also recommend be prepared to talk to your kids about, hey, you see what that sign says about millions and billions of years ago? That's not right. And then that could be a good source of discussion, and it'll get into those kind of issues. You have to have the background and give them the background for understanding that. So I talk about natural wonders. We have another place, it's some caves you can tour. I don't know if you've ever been there, Blanchard Springs. I think it's up near Mountain Home. And just a cool place to go and look at the kind of things that are there. And, you know, other places come to mind. I didn't try to list them all that are more far away, Grand Canyon or Yellowstone or places like that. And again, in all those places, they're going to have, subtly or not so subtly mixed into the message, a millions of year evolution kind of approach. Just know that going there. It's not a reason not to go there. In fact, it's every reason to go there so that you can have those discussions with your kids now while you have a chance to make the case. And if you're not real solid on that case yourself, I suggest you get out on the Answers in Genesis website or get with me. I'll help you. But I suggest you bring yourself up to speed on those things, because we need to be able to speak to the culture today. They're telling a false story, a false narrative, and we need to have a counter narrative. It's a biblical point of view, just like we do in every other area of life. So, just something to keep in mind. Take the kids to a library for a story hour, or check out books to read. This is something that's real simple. My wife used to, that was one of her favorite little trips during the day. She'd take the kids down to the library. They would have, sometimes they'd read to them or something, or they could check out books. Get them into books. Get them into reading. We've already talked about that. And going to the library is a way to encourage that. Take the family to another town that's fun to visit. There are towns that just, they're just fun to go to. There's just no two ways about it. Our personal favorite, we like Branson. I mentioned Silver Dollar City, but the whole town of Branson has a lot of fun shows and stuff to go to, or go-karting or whatever, stuff you could do with your kids. Hot Springs is another town we like. It's fairly close by, and they got interesting little shops along the strip you can shop at, and interesting restaurants. And I think that's near where the Mid-America Museum is, and also they've got a big tower you can look out over the town. There's all kind of stuff you can do. Some of these towns that are set up for touristy type things, that may not be your thing. If it's not, you might not want to do that, but we enjoyed it, and we still do. If we get out of town, yes, we'll take them to a place like that. Take the family to visit other family or friends. And, you know, so again, in some cases, you don't have a lot of money, so you can't afford necessarily right now to go even spend time in a condo on the beach or at Disney World or something like that. Well, you probably have relatives who live in other places that you'd like to see anyways. One of the trips we used to like to take is my wife's sister had kids. We had four kids, boy, girl, boy, boy. Yeah, boy, girl, boy, boy. And her sister had four kids, boy, girl, boy, boy. And they're about the same age as our kids. So that was a really fun trip for us, is to go to Oklahoma and see them, or have them out to see us. And just, again, a way to get away together as a family, spend time together in a positive way, and get to see some of your family or friends. You might have friends that are in that same situation. And that could give you away. A lot of people I know, I'm not big on it. I tend to just like to stay in a hotel because I can afford it. But a lot of people like staying with family, and it's less money. So if you're concerned about, how can I afford some of these things, this all sounds great. That may be a possibility for helping you be able to do some of this. If one of your kids has a special interest, consider taking them to visit someone who specializes in that area. So we had a friend of ours who, his kid was just real into knife making. And he just loved making different real cool looking knives and stuff like that, hunting knives or whatever. And so this guy took him to another city where there was a guy who's like a really well-known knife maker, and they spent the whole day just touring his facility, seeing how all the different things and tools he used. I mean, that's just an example. I told you the story about how my dad took me to a friend that had a ham radio back when I was in the ham radio. You know, so if you think about, if your kids, especially if they have an interest in an area that maybe you don't have as much interest or knowledge of, this might be a chance for you to, number one, get a day alone with that kid. So you don't always have to take a whole family everywhere you go, obviously. Sometimes it's good to spend time with individual kids to get that relationship built. You have a whole drive time and everything to talk to them, and especially around a positive event like this. And then you can get them to expose to something, and who knows, that could end up being a career for them, wherever you're taking them, depending on what the area of interest is. Or it just may just be a lifetime hobby, or just maybe something they enjoy doing now. It doesn't matter, but just something to think about there. Just some logistical things and some overview kind of things. On longer trips, we're talking some trips that I'm recommending here might take you a while to get there. Consider reading something out loud to the kids, or listening to, you have audiobooks for just about everything nowadays, so you don't have to wear your voice box out on the trip if you don't like doing that. But consider reading something out loud to the kids that engages their minds. C.S. Lewis's Narnia series comes to mind. Really long story series. You can go all the way out to Phoenix, Arizona and back listening to that. I did it. So, and it's great. I mean, there's things where his theology shows that it's not as great as it could be, but for the most part, I'd say 95%, it's good stuff. Really good stuff. Or Lord of the Rings series, you know, is another one. There can be lots of things. Or you might even read or listen to audio from sermons or something like that, possibly, if the kids would be interested in listening to that. Now, I know, you know, we have TV screens that drop down in the back of the van, and kids can kind of be mesmerized by that. And that's okay. I mean, it's better than, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? The whole time we're driving. But we just suggest something like this. In other words, make productive use of the time by reading something that's helpful or productive. Even if it's fiction, if it presents a point of view or an idea that engages their mind, and it passes the time for all of you while you're doing it. So it's kind of a win-win. Just something to think about there. Another one, beware of having overly high expectations when doing these things, these kinds of things with your family. So, and I was horrible about this. That's why I warn you. I would get these things so built up. I was just really into this kind of stuff, even when I was a younger guy. And I would get a vacation in mind. I think we saved up for, I don't know how many years, to take a vacation. I always wanted to take the kids to Disney World. That was kind of a big thing I wanted to do for years and years. And I put aside a certain amount of money every week for years, saving up for that trip. And then when the time came, we were getting close, I went out and rented a video and showed the kids, wow, this is going to be so cool. You know, we showed them all this stuff that we were going to see and all that together. And to me, that was going to be just the height of wonder and excitement. And unfortunately, about the time it actually came off, we were going through some of the most difficult time with our oldest son. And he was along. And he did everything he could to actually make the trip miserable for us. And so it wasn't we still had a good time. It was still worth doing. But I was so let down, so disappointed. I guess my point is, we still live in a fallen world. We're still all sinners. And so I don't want to discourage you, but I just encourage you you don't want to put too much in this, okay? These are things that are helpful. I'm recommending them. I'm saying it'll be great. But that's not ultimately where we get real life or where we're sourcing our meaning for life or anything like that. And just recognize, even on trips with my wife and I think I've shared this with you before, I'll just say it again. I think, you know, if you had to say where are some of the worst arguments that the two of you have had as a couple, you would think maybe it was like when things were bad at home or something like that. No, not so much. Usually at that time we're kind of hunkered down together and you know, back to back and facing the world that's against us. But when you're on vacation, you let your guard down and you can have high expectations. And here's where it gets to be a problem. She has one set of expectations. I have a different set of expectations. And we get on the trip and the expectations clash. They're like, what? I was looking forward to this. No, I was looking forward to that. You start acting like little kids. hopefully you don't do that. That was just us. Okay. So I just point that out there as, you know, we want to be realistic. And this is not the be-all and end-all of life. It's just something that's good and helpful. But be on guard. Don't let your guard down, because there will be those times when you're on vacation that doesn't seem to feel like much of a vacation because things have gone a little bit astray on you. So, okay, so with all that, I want to hear from you all, and I want to throw some questions out there for you. So, I started off the class talking about the idea of a couple spending time together apart from the kids. What do you think about that idea? Because I know some couples might look at that and say, I don't know, that just doesn't sound doable. Or I don't know if that's even desirable. What do you think? And do you think it's important? Do you think it's an important thing to do? Do you think it's a worthwhile thing to do? Time, because it's going to take effort. It will definitely take effort to do that. Is it worth it? What do you think? I'll leave it on that question. I have some others, but I'll start on that. Yeah.
Working at Family Life, I get a lot of people who call in inquiring about our Weekend to Remember event.
Oh, that's another good one, yeah.
That's one of the things, one of the questions that constantly comes up is, well, is it really going to be worth it to try to find babysitting for my kids and, you know, and all this? Can I bring my nursing infant? Can I do this and this and this? And we have a policy that even nursing infants can't come because it's a distraction to people. It keeps the focus on the kid more than on what they're supposed to be focusing on. And then a lot of times we say, they're like, well, do we have to stay in the hotel that's recommended? Well, you don't have to, but we highly recommend it. And they're like, well, why? And I said, well, I know for me personally, if I'm going to go to something like that, it's going to be really helpful for me to even get away from my empty house with no kids.
Yeah.
Because I have laundry, I have dishes,
yeah.
I have floors to clean, I have, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And you'll want to do those things if you're home rather than really focusing in on what you're supposed to be thinking through.
Yeah, good point.
So that's why I mean, for me, it's really important. And even when we went and stayed at the hotel they had, the Marriott downtown, it was a staycation, but it was nice to be out of our house.
Yeah.
You know, and be able to focus on our relationship and not everything else.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, you don't even have to go far away. We've had a few of those where we stayed at a hotel in North Little Rock or in Little Rock, just to get out, like you said, just because. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, when you're home, all this stuff is always calling you, you know, and you've got to get away from that stuff. It seems. I mean, I know maybe theoretically you could get away from it and say, no, I'm just not going to do those things, but practically, it really makes a difference. Yeah, we've had those just sort of to avoid the cost of traveling to a different city or something, at least get away that way. And it's still the hotel expense, obviously, but that helps. Yeah, so good suggestions there. I was hoping one of the Canards would show up today. Amy, what do you have to say on this one?
What we have learned from this. It took 10 years in the making, but we finally, were able to get rid of all 5 kids for a solid week. No interruptions, no emails, no texts, just setting it aside, no work. And it's the first time in 10 years really that we were able to talk and to get to know each other as individuals again, where it's so easy when you go out on a date night, you're always looking at the clock, you're always thinking you gotta pick up your kids, and it's still stressful. You're not relaxing. And then when you do sit down to talk, it's almost like it becomes a, let's catch up on what's going on in the house.
Yeah.
Okay, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this kid is a brat, you know, this kid's... And you're like going through all these problems and how to solve it, that's your strategy time. But it's not a date time. There's no romance in it, there's no relaxation in it, and you'll start to find that over time, sad to say, but even in our home, you feel like you are two people living in the same roof. You might as well just be roommates because you're just each doing your responsibility, but you're not a couple. And the thing is that, yes, kids came as part of a marriage, but if you do not hold the couple together, the marriage, that when the kids are gone, you have nothing in common anymore. And that's why I think there's so many divorce rates. Once your kids are in their 20s, people split. They realize that they don't know each other anymore. They're two strangers. And so getting away, yes, it's expensive. Yes, it's stressful because of trying to coordinate if you have a larger family. But it was so, so worth it on multiple levels. One, because it made us connect again in ways we haven't connected in years and didn't even realize we weren't connecting on. But to get to know each other again, of what we like, what we don't like, what we're thinking about different things instead of just going along with the flow and, you know, making it one day at a time. But also, it gave us a new appreciation of our children. Mm. When we got home, the relationship with them was actually sweeter than when we left. It just all around, our relationship was stronger and our relationship with our children felt stronger because we saw the things that, yes, we're ready to strangle each other in everyday life, but when you're separated, that absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
It really is true. And it made us realize the little quirks of, you know, I like it when Adam would do that, or catching, you know, Tim would have an expression, and I could bust out laughing. I'm like, that is totally Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I see this, and laughing about that. But it really is worth it. It strengthens your children's relationship, it strengthens your marriage, but I think we just forget that our marriage comes first above anything else with our children. They're just temporary. You're living with that person for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You better invest in it.
Yeah, that's a good words. I appreciate all that. And I understand from when I talked to Tim, even while you were out, you were sort of scouting for what you might do with your kids too. Like, that's another thing that happens. You're away, the two of you together. It's not like you dump the kids completely out of your life. Like you said, you develop an appreciation for them just even being away from them a little bit. But also, we enjoyed, you know, strategizing. But hey, wouldn't it be fun to bring the kids here and do this and do that, you know? And so your heart always goes back to your family. It's not that it doesn't, but that you're so, the way you put that is that was our experience as well, and that's why we take them. Again, I can't mandate this. The Bible doesn't say take a getaway. That just is a very practical advice to do this, and so that's why I recommend it. Any other? Yeah, Stephen.
You may have said that while Amy was talking, but we do a weekly date night, and we're fortunate to have babysitting situation. It's really good. That may change with the second child.
Yeah.
But I think the regular date night really important. If nothing else, you know, sometimes we get a Redbox movie, or sometimes we just play a game at home, and you know, I've heard that obviously. So it varies what we do. Having the data, having that on the calendar, and actually doing it, whether it's weekly, monthly, whatever, is so important because it's a reminder of the priority of your marriage.
Yes.
And it's not to the neglect of your children. It's actually no. The most important thing you can do for your children to have a stable marriage. And so I would just encourage everybody to think through, you know, what makes sense for us. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, incredible. But if you can at least do it once a month and really keep that sacred, like you were talking about on
yeah.
the calendar, then I think it makes a real difference just to have that time of focusing and, you know, get to laugh together and do things that, you know, just in the, when you're in the battle, so to speak, you just don't get to, you don't get that same experience.
Yeah.
And so, like, I noticed a huge difference in how we communicate and how connected I feel to him when we don't get those date nights, you know, and I really miss them when I don't get to,
yeah.
get to have that time.
Yeah. Yeah, we often forget about, you know, when we're focusing like we have been in this class on our kids, and we often forget that everything is derived originally from the couple and the marriage, and the family flows out from the couple. Family's important, kids are important, and they're always with you, but it has to flow out. And I remember when my wife and I were experiencing marital problems and we went to a counselor. Actually, it started off as problems with our kids. We went to a counselor to straighten things out with the kids, and the counselor immediately began talking to us about our marriage. And we're like, no, wait, you misunderstood the purpose here. We're here to talk about our kids are problems. And he says, it's been my experience as a counselor that virtually all problems with kids ultimately originates in problems in the marriage. He said, so I always start there. He was a Christian counselor. That was an interesting perspective. I had to kind of take a step back and listen to what he had to say on that, and that was very much, very much true. So these things that we're advocating are ways for you to strengthen your couple relationship so that then the strength of that can radiate out to the family. So that's very good, very important. So moving on from just the couples thing, what do you think about the idea? I'll just throw these questions up all together. There's a couple of them. What do you think about the idea of taking vacations and day trips with your family? I mean, does that even sound like, is that something like, it's okay, but we don't really need that? Or do you really feel like this is helpful? And do you have, those of you who might already do this, might want to share? And while you're sharing, are there some specific vacation or day trip ideas that you'd like to recommend to the group? I've recommended, obviously, a whole bunch of things, but they're just very specific and sort of a smattering. Certainly not an exhaustive list by any means. So maybe there's some things that either you like that I suggested and you want to kind of second it, or it may be that you have a totally different idea that you just want to get out there. And then think about this too. What are some of the challenges that you think you might face as you attempt to do some of these things? We've already kind of talked about that a little bit, but you might, if you have more or experiences in that you want to talk about, that would be open. Or, as always, if you have something totally different you want to bring up that's related to this topic, and that's fine. So what do y'all think about the idea of taking this time with your family? And do you have some specific places that you would suggest that you've gone to, or things you've done, or maybe just advice you'd give us about doing these kinds of things? Sarah?
I like that you're talking about this. I asked my dad once, like, Dad, what's the best parenting advice you would give me? And he said, take your kids on vacations and, like, little trips with them. And I was really shocked to hear that because I did not think that would be his answer. And he said, no, that's really where you make some of your best memories. And even just our being family vacations, we've made really good memories with our kids and just even as a family, like an extended, a bigger family. But it's been really, really nice just to have those memories and to do that and to just get to share that with our kids. And so I would hope that Jonathan and I could do more individual things with our kids. We've talked about going camping.
Yeah.
And I guess as a mom with boys, I'm like kind of into the camping thing because I want them to get that camping experience.
Yep.
If I had girls, it might be more of an inside thing. But not to say girls can't camp, but it seems like boys are expected to. But yeah, we've tried for probably 4 years to go camping, and we finally went earlier this year, and it was wonderful. Like, they just loved it. So
cool. But Sean, did you have your hand up, or were you?
I did, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really got to get back upstairs. Real quick, before Sunday school ends, concerning the break-in that we had earlier this morning, the officers want us to touch as little as possible. Don't be afraid to use the restroom if you need to. But any gates that are open, doors open, try not to open and close doors. Don't try to touch things up if possible. Just be conscious and aware of it.
Sure. Okay.
At some point, they did mention getting contact information from people in NHR.
She said name, phone number, date of birth.
And so, at some point, touch base with them if you can, really quick, and give them your information. And then
we can just start to shoot.
Wait a minute. Say that again. I just dropped in. They're wanting information for all of us. Contact information. Let me go talk to them about that.
Okay. So anyway, touch as little as possible, and please be aware of your children running around. The stairs will be accessible because we can't close that gate. That was a point of access for them. So, sorry.
No, all right. Yeah, Linda.
A memory I really enjoyed that seemed super effective with our family was my dad would take a week off. But we wouldn't go anywhere. He would spend a day with each kid.
Mm.
And we would go, we could pick two things we wanted to do. Generally, one was free. but like most of the time, we would go canoeing and different activities that would take a long time. You get concentrated time with him. And I just really enjoy that. Even to this day, when Aaron says, what do you want to do that would be long? I tend to always default what I did with my dad growing up. That was just restful and connecting. And so it wasn't expensive at all. I mean, it probably was a little bit expensive, but
no,
compared
to the whole idea. It was my idea. It was like, I don't have any money for these trips. So we'll stay home and just make it a vacation, make it special.
Yeah.
Because there's no money to go anywhere else. So.
And I think the reason I like that the most is because when we did go as a family a few times, it's hard to make every age group happy when you're 13 years apart.
Yeah.
And so some are geared towards ours for the little ones, and some are for the older. And so it just made it nice that you got your whole day to do what you want with your dad.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't think you even mentioned that in my material, but I'm reflecting back on my own childhood. My parents, for our birthday, we got to go with just them by ourselves. And that was that was my very favorite memory. And that wasn't the only time we ever did, but my dad took me on stuff individually and all that, and my mom did too. But that's a good point you bring up. If you have bunches of kids, especially if there's an age span there, even if it's not, they all value you and the individual relationship along with the family relationship. It's not that one takes the place of the other. And I know that becomes more impractical the more kids you have, but how many kids y'all have, and your dad managed to make it happen, so. And it was a good memory for you, so that's a good word. I'm glad you brought that up. We're pretty close on time here. Maybe time for one more sharing, if any, because I really need to kind of wrap it up. No. Yeah.
Still talks about. Remember when we went on the Daddy Zoe date and we got to see this and do this and do that? I mean, she talks about the whole evening all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so we kind of, when Nora's born, she's going to stay with my dad. And we've started building it up as a Papa Zoe date. And this is kind of, so she can kind of get in her mind this is a special time that she gets to spend with just Papa.
Oh.
Because Grandma's going to be gone and it's just going to be her and Papa. And she's so excited about it. And so that is, even with just one child, just dedicated time is really important.
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad you brought that up, too. A date night with dads and daughters is a really big deal. I did that. We would dress up, make a big deal. She put on her best dress. I would put on a tie. We'd go to a really cool, fancy restaurant, or something, and make a big deal out of it, And to this day, we would take a picture because we were going. Daughter and dad date night. I think to this day, I remember recently on Facebook, my daughter posted an old photo of her and I on a date night. Of all the things she could have picked that we did back in the day, that stood out to her as a positive moment. So, yeah, those are great. Folks, I wish we had more time, but we're going to have to wrap it up here just to be fair with everything else we've got to do this morning. Father, we just thank you for this time, for this opportunity to reflect on some positive things we can do as a family. These are blessings that we have from you that we can do these things. And I pray that the parents who are here this morning would be given wisdom in how to choose. And also to build on that, the strength of the relationship between the two of them, that is so important. Glad that came out this morning as well. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.